The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, standing on the promises of God. Remember that? What a hymn! But it's more than a song. The most extraordinary optimism for the church is found in this very truth. God keeps his promises. He has never failed to keep one single promise that he has made. Next, have we ever heard of the term flip-flopper? It was a popular political term for a while, and it will be again soon enough. But that's because we're talking about humanity. And God, there are no flip-flops, no shorts, no sunburns, and no small waves. And finally, God has a few million attributes that separate him from all other creation. He is the promise maker, the promise keeper, the promise fulfiller, and the promise itself, all by himself.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Right here on my $1.19 Chromebook. That's where it'll come. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. Of course, when you call 972-445-0770, you get to talk to Terrific T. Let's just be honest. That's right as rain. Just leave it there. So good. Here's the bottom line. Maybe you have a prayer request, a praise report, something you want to share, something the Lord's working on in your life. Maybe you have an answer to Bible trivia. Maybe just need to talk or share about something that you want to encourage people in. The premise of this show is not necessarily like other shows. It's not completely different than every show. But the idea here is that we want to be a Christian community that supports one another. We kind of break through denominational barriers. We just don't think that's more important than the blood of Jesus Christ. And so what we do is we try and lift one another up, encourage one another, and bless one another as we see the day approaching. And it certainly is approaching a lot quicker than it was even years ago. I love what Pastor Ray said. He said, man, this is an accelerated time. That's a great way to say that. In lieu of the fact that we give that opportunity for people to engage with us, we want to give you a trivia question, because trivia is a great way to keep the mind fresh in the Bible, because it's Bible trivia, not just regular trivia. And here is the trivia question that we have for you. What elderly cousin of Mary became the mother of John the Baptist? Kind of an easy one, but we need people to be jumping in the right way. What elderly cousin of Mary became the mother of John the Baptist? If you think you know the answer, you can text in 972-445-0770. Or you can... Oh, wait. That's the wrong one. How long have I been doing this, T? I mean, this is like, what, we're at 550 shows, right?
Yep.
Okay, nice job, Dave. You call the 972-445-0770. You text the 214-210-8483. So before anybody makes that mistake, which happens almost every show, text 214-210-8483. Call 972-445-0770. If you make a spelling mistake, I won't hold it against you. Okay? Just letting you know that up ahead of time. In the meantime, let us not forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie, artichokey. By the way, I've told you that before. Artichokey, a theological term from the first century. Okay, maybe not. Okay. All right, we have somebody that's offering up a prayer request. We want to absolutely respond to that, so let's have that take place first. Go ahead. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Brother David, this would be Brother Tom speaking.
Hi, Brother Tom. How are you?
I am very well, but I have a friend that is in need of prayers this weekend.
Okay. Can we know what's going on?
Yes. This is in East Texas. A friend of mine was cleaning up some material in the yard, and a baby copperhead snake bit his little finger. And he has been in the hospital for the last 8 days.
Wow.
And they are going to determine today if they need to amputate some or all of that finger.
Wow.
And so I would like to pray for healing. I would like to have prayers made for the skills of the hand surgeons and hospitalists that are involved in his care.
Okay. Is it okay if we get the name?
This would be Kevin.
Kevin. Let's do it. Let's go right now before the Lord in prayer. Okay. Let's do
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Father, we come before you right now, and we love you, Lord. We know this earth has moments on it that are so challenging. You're so aware of what's going on in our lives and the challenges that we face and that our friends face and that our brothers and sisters and the people that we're engaged with. It's not always easy. It's not always hard, but there are times when the hardness really drains. And here you have a situation where Kevin has been wounded, and we're asking for mighty grace to come into this situation and that you would enable good news to come out of this terrifically horrible situation. Somehow, Lord, in your capacity, either through the skills of the surgeon, the wisdom of the people that are working there, or through your anointing and your power, please touch this situation and allow it to change so that there can be a testimony of good news that comes from this, so that Brother Tom can come back to us and give us an update with as good of news that would be blessing to everybody else who hears it. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you keep us posted on that and let us know how Kevin's doing, and we will keep praying for him, and the audience will keep praying for him, and just keep us updated so we can know how to pray.
You are a blessing, my friend. Thank you very much.
You are more than welcome. God bless you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, that's what we do. That's our thing. It's like, well, how theological is that? That's more theological than any teaching you'll get the whole rest of the day. Especially for me, I can tell you that. That's all I'm saying. All right, here we go. So we do have that trivia question. What is our trivia question? What elderly cousin of Mary became the mother of John the Baptist? If you think, oh, somebody's calling in, so I think that maybe somebody's going to come right behind that. That's right, I'll get to this text. It's okay. Remember, most of this stuff is reminding you. Most of you have been a Christian for more than 3 or 4 years. There's not a lot of new stuff, okay? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a remembering. Okay, we ready? Okay, are they already on? Hi, this is David. Wait. We got the bell going before we give the question. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. This is not a particularly tough one, but it's a good one because people need to be aware, and that's why it's important. What elderly cousin of Mary became the mother of John the Baptist?
I'm just guessing, but is it Elizabeth?
That is an excellent guess. You are correct.
Yay.
Great job. That's what we want to hear. Excellent job, and I appreciate that. You got that right. You are the best guesser I know.
All right. Well, thank you. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boy, I just wanted to just say ladies and germs. I used to do that, by the way. When I would teach, I'd go, ladies and germs. It's a funny line. All right, so we're going to just intro what we're going to do. We're not going to do the text or anything like that because we don't have the time, all right? But what I want to talk to you about is a promise. So what is a promise? Let's see. Oh, you know, we talk about, I just heard the other day, a country music star doing the Standing on the Promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ our Savior. Okay. A promise, listen to this, is a declaration that something will or will not be done. Did you hear that? Big educational moment here. A promise is a declaration that something will or will not be done. That's the dictionary definition. In the Bible, the Greek word is empegelion. I know I'm saying that wrong. Epangelion. It's something like that. It means an announcement for a pledge or to start walking in a form of commitment. For those that don't know, there are 1,260 plus promises in the Bible. It's over 1,000 promises in the Bible. You think that's important? I think so. So what we're going to do is we're going to review the kind of promises God has given us because we stand on the promises of God. The hymn might be old, but the hymn is correct. You're listening to Take a Break here. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
We happen to be people who are able to, you know, go with the Lord while the flow is going, while the river is going, while the joy is going, and then something comes in the way like a pebble, like a pebble, and then we trip and we're like, ay, 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 and we don't know what we're doing. Here's the key. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be this superhuman, beyond capacity, exactly like Jesus in everything you say or do in each moment. That's not happening.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
My entire life, of course, I mean, you know, my career used to be the, you know, the only thing I cared about, you know, in a sense, and now my family is my priority. So I still love my career and I love what I do for a living, but it keeps me grounded because, you know, the primary thing for me now is making sure that, you know, I've got a active and healthy family life.
You know, it's really, it's our privilege. We want you to know how much we appreciate it. I think your talent is undersold in the context that it's not promoted enough. I think some of your stuff is just anything that makes me laugh, especially the way the world is now, anything that makes me laugh, I love. I think it's gold. So I think you've done a lot of gold. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Yeah, I almost forgot my own name of my own show and my own title. You know what? I need therapy. Two words for you, David. What's that? Therapy. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're getting ready to do our next trivia question. Who can't say his openings? Ding, 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 David. Okay, here we go. What prophetess was the sister of two great leaders and was once afflicted with leprosy for being rebellious? Ooh, sounds like she had some mostly ups, but a few downs there. What prophetess was the sister of two great leaders and was once afflicted with leprosy for being rebellious? If you think you know, you can call us 972-445-0770, or you can text us at 214-210-8483. Let's see. We got that. I have in my hand, before we get into the text, yeah, I got to do it. Just has to be done. In honor of my own grandchildren, it has to be done. In my hand, I have Bible characters and possible songs associated with those Bible characters. So these are well-known songs, but over the last, like, 40 years. Okay? So not everybody's going to know all the songs. But before we get to that, we got somebody calling in on the trivia, and we'll want to answer that. And these are really good. You're really going to like these. I mean, I'm telling you. You know? I mean, you're talking about a Jewish guy who knows what a good ham sandwich is. Trust me. Okay, ready? Somebody answer the trivia? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, my name is Asefa.
Okay, do me a favor. Turn your radio down because it's got a little echo. So when you're talking to me, it echoes.
Yeah,
a lot.
I did.
Okay, I appreciate that. Okay, here we go. You ready for the trivia question? Ready for the answer? Ready? Okay, here we go. All right. Here we go. The prophetess was what prophetess was the sister of two great leaders and was once afflicted with leprosy for being rebellious?
Well, her name was Miriam or Mary.
That is correct, Miriam. Yes, winner. Good job. Excellent job. Excellent, excellent job. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
You too.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye. All right, that was fun. Okay. All right, now, going back to this. Now, those of you who are older, okay, you will really understand this, especially the first one. Ready? Bible character, Noah. What famous song goes connected with Noah? Raindrops keep falling on my head. Come on, that's just good. All right. There's some rock and roll-ish stuff in here. Adam and Eve, Strangers in Paradise. That's pretty good, right? All right. Esther. Remember Esther was chosen because she was, like, so pretty? The song, I Feel Pretty. Remember? I feel pretty. Those are pretty good. Jezebel. The lady is a tramp. Samson. Now, this is really going back into the 70s, late 60s, and late 60s. All right. This will be for Samson. If you guys remember this play and this production, the song Hair. See, if you understand Samson because he had his hair cut, that's just crazy. All right. This is genius, and I'm going to say it's genius. This might be the best one of all because this is just really good. Daniel, but the song that goes with him, The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Yay! Hey! How is that not genius? genius. That's like, wow, that is so good. And then only two more. The three wise men for this one, it's when you wish upon a star, because they were following a star.
When you wish upon a star.
And then, oh, wait, there's two more. Okay. Elijah, remember, he was in a whirlwind, okay? That his song would be Up, Up, and Away. Up, up, and away. And then the last one's Methuselah, who lived the longest more than anybody else, and his song would be Staying Alive. Staying alive, staying alive, yeah. There's something you don't know about my family. Noelle loves the Bee Gees. Just loves them. It's so funny. We had a discussion one time. It was very short. When we have these kind of discussions, we don't go too far, too deep. But I said, you know, they're just ripping off the Beatles when they're doing the Sgt. Pepper's. And she goes, oh, they do it better. And I said, I'm going to leave the room now. That's how our family is. I'm leaving now, and I'm going to go see how the dog is doing. Bye. Okay. All right, let's go to this promise element. I want you not to miss this cool thing, even though we're having a lot of fun. And it's cool to have fun. You should have fun. But the bottom line is we need to understand the promises of God. And here's something I want to say and be very clear about. God has given you personal promises. I know you're not supposed to say that because that's not falling in the right motif. God does give people promises. In fact, he's been giving people promises since Genesis, right? The difficulty is that people think that the promises that they've received are more solid than the word of God. And the reason that I would take issue with that is for two reasons. One, the Bible is the final authority, period. And two, just consider the recipient, you and me. We kind of lack some of that carried along stability. But a real promise from God is a real promise from God, and it doesn't change. And if God made you a real promise and it's genuine, it will come to pass no matter what the case may be. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. I love stuff like this. I could preach hours on this. This is amazing stuff. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, look, the promises of God are not, you know, yes and no and no and yes. The promises of God are yes, yes, yes. And no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So when we hear about the promises of God and you and I say, amen, amen, that's fantastic, amen, okay? When we say amen, that brings glory to God. Do you understand that? That brings glory. When you say that's the promise of God, well, amen. God is glorified. That's why. Okay. You know, let's hold. Can we hold him? Can you hold over for the next? Because I've only got like, ask him if he can hang on for a little bit. Okay. See if he can hang on. All right. So why I want to bring that up is because there's a fickleness in all of our existence. Troy's going to call in. I'm going to ask him to hang on just so I can make this point. There's a fickleness that goes on amongst people. People are fickle, okay? People are like, they bounce, right? I mean, we're like on a trampoline. Can he hang on? Is there right? Okay, good. So, it's you know, are you ever going on a pogo stick? I've been on a pogo stick. I ruined somebody's driveway. Because I didn't have the rubber tip on. Whoops. Anyway, but I did like 1,000, right? And there was all these marks all over the driveway. They were kind of mad. Anyway, the bottom line is it's up and down, up and up and up. But God is not like that. Here's what it says. When you ask, you must believe the God without doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown, tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because they're bouncing up and down. They're bouncing up and down. But James 1:17, the scripture says, in God there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God isn't a bouncer. He isn't a flip-flopper, all right? We're flip-floppers. And don't tell me you haven't flip-flopped, because I've never met a single person ever that hasn't made changes or flip-flop changes. But God does not do that. And the promises in God are yes. And when you say amen, God is glorified. And what's cool about God is his promises, they're not like wind. They're not like, you know, ashes on the ground and the wind blows and they're gone. When God makes a promise, it's as sure as the foundation of the earth because it came from his mouth. We're going to get into the theology of that in the next little bit. But what I want you to understand is the reliability. Do you hear what I'm saying there? The reliability. Who do you count on? Well, I count on the Lord. Well, you need to count on the Lord for the promise that has not yet been fulfilled, that it will be. That it will be. And what's awesome about that is that he has a perfect track record. I don't have a perfect track record. I can't even say my name correctly in the intro. But God has never failed once in fulfilling the promises he has made. You getting what I'm saying? This is an important, important lesson for you guys. And for me too. I'm not saying that to point it away from me. I'm including all of us. When God has made a promise, like Jesus said, I will return, that promise is steadfast, right? All right. You got that? All right. We had the trivia answered by the caller who called in earlier on. So what we'll do is we'll take our break and we come back and then we'll get Troy. Troy has a question. And so we're going to kind of wind it down. But I just want you to catch this. That promise of the return of Christ, it is absolute. And when you say amen, you bring glory to God. Isn't that just cool? Amen, Lord. Oh, the whole audience says amen to every one of your promises. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas. 770 KAAM. The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and it happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three times, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Our good buddy Troy has been on the hold for quite some time, so we're going to push it towards him and give him a chance to ask what he wants to ask. Go ahead. There we go. This is David. How you doing, Troy?
All right, David. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I had some time with my grandkids last night, and I'll have some more time with them today and then all day tomorrow, so I'm doing great.
All right, that sounds like a winner to me.
Yep.
Hey, I laughed at all your, not all of them, because, you know, the three Hebrew children?
Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Yeah, they threw coins in a fountain.
They did what?
You know, you give
yeah, that's a good one. Say that again. That's good.
What you said about them a while ago, but you was saying something about them, you know, with a song, you know?
Yeah, great balls of fire.
three Hebrew children at three coins and a fountain. How does that sound?
There you go. Good job.
All right, I'll let you go.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Yeah,
bye-bye. This is our show now. I just want to point this out. People calling it, they're adding jokes. They're adding definitions. That's the way it should be, right? That's the way it should be. All right, that's fun. Good for him. All right, next question. Not hugely difficult, this next trivia question. The last one is much tougher. So for those that are feeling it, you know, I'm feeling pretty good, Dave. That's good. This one. What widowed prophetess? Boy, I got to learn to speak. What widowed prophetess was 84 years old when she saw the young Jesus in the temple? What was the name of the widowed prophetess who was 84 years old when she saw the young Jesus in the temple? The only hint I can give you, it is in Luke chapter 2. See if you can get that there. See how that goes. Okay? All right. Do we have somebody who's already going to answer the trivia question before I even... How is that? That is fast. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you?
I've been doing fine. I've been listening. I just haven't been bugging in.
That's fine.
I've used these people come in to answer those questions.
Not a problem. And you know what? You call any time. I know that you're listening. You know we're praying for you. I pray for you specifically every day. And you just keep us posted on all things, okay?
Yes, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You got it. All right. What widowed prophetess, you know, I could barely speak this for some reason, was 84 years old when she saw the young Jesus in the temple?
Well, my memory wants to say Anna.
That is correct! You are right! Absolutely, absolutely correct. Excellent job. That's a good one. Now, the last one I'm going to do in the next segment, it's a tougher one, but that's a really good answer. A lot of people forget that she was involved in that declaration of Jesus the Messiah in the very beginning. It is like that was something that the Lord did. What a fantastic woman that did what she did and that was faithful to the saints, faithful to the people of God, and faithful to God himself. Excellent
yeah,
example
no,
she was.
Day and night in their temple. I can't imagine that.
I know. I never would have done
it. I wish I had that kind of impetus to I mean, we all weak in faith, really. We all need to be stronger in our faith, no doubt about that. So.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing faith. That's like the faith at another level. Like, I couldn't do it.
Amen. Amen.
Excellent job, bro.
All right. It's good talk to you. Thank y'all. You and T. Y'all take care.
You got it. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. All right. We're going to do our history and then get... We are just rocking. This show is just blazing. Yeah, probably we should. That's a good idea. We should probably... See, this is, I just don't remember. Let's do the website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. Don't forget. And if you're able to give, it's great. If you can't give, just pray for us. I mean, that's all. I'm not asking you. I don't want anybody guilted into anything. If I wanted to guilt you into something, I'd be guilting food things. That's a good Jewish meal. So my daughter's in town. It's like she doesn't know that she's going to have to figure out how to make matzah brie. But that's okay. She's going to have to figure it out because I'm grandpa. Okay. History today. Today is World Otter Day. Like otters. Now, if you were in California before everybody lost their marbles, which is, I don't know, what, 30, less 30 years ago, prior to 30 years ago, the otter show at SeaWorld was like the funniest show. That was, I think, probably one of the funniest 15 minutes of entertainment ever. It's just so funny. It's also National Blueberry Cheesecake Day. You don't like blueberries. You don't like cheesecake, do you?
Oh, nope. Mm-mm.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm gonna give you a pass on that because it's also National Cherry Dessert Day. Do you like cherries? You're not a fruit person. What do you just? What do you like?
I like fruit, just not those kind.
Not those I like fruit, Dave. Just not those kind of fruits. It's World Lindy Hop Day, which is a dance that's, you know, kind of like a counterpart to the Charleston. World Redhead Day. You know any redheads? You know, my brother's a redhead. How's that?
I can't think of any on the top.
Okay.
Oh, I know Wendy's. Wendy's is redhead.
That is just, that's, and she had redhead. That's pretty good. I'm going to just leave that there. She wins on that one. She wins the internet on that answer. And then National Paper Airplane Day. Which I think, by the way, is great. I think the National Paper Airplane Day. How can that be bad, right? That's a cool thing. All right. That's enough of that. I could do more, but what's the point of doing that? There's no point. All right. We're gonna get ready to get into our teaching. Somebody's calling in. I don't know if they're calling in to answer the trivia or what. So I always have to wait. So this is my stall tactic. I'm trying to figure out what are you doing. I'm stalling as I wait for T to tell me yes, no, maybe. She's going to – this is a trivia answer? No. It's not a trivia prayer request? No. She's – these are the lotto numbers. No, it's not the lotto numbers. Okay. She's going to let me know. I'm just going to get go on with it, and then she'll put me on hold, okay? So we are talking about God being consistent in his promises and faithful in his promises. It is necessary for us to understand that faithfulness of God and listen to what I said to you. When you say amen to the promises of God, when you say amen, that brings glory to God. I'm just saying, so when you understand that the promises that are made in Christ are yes, so through him, through Jesus, the amen that's spoken brings and gives glory to God. Very cool stuff. Now I want to talk about the deeper mode of it, and that is, well, why is God so faithful in his promises? Well, how does that come about? How do you define that God is faithful and has never failed in his promises? Here is how. Ready? I want you to hear this. When God, this is Hebrews 6, 13 through 19, when God made his promises to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and I will give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and an oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. Do you hear that? An oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it by an oath. God did this so by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of hope have set before us The hope that's set before us may have great encouragement. Let me just, and then it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Let me just say this. There are two things by which God made a commitment. He made a promise, because he's the promise maker, and then he made an oath to confirm his promise. And what the scripture says is an oath confirms what is said and puts the end to all arguments. Once you make an oath, it's over. And then the author of Hebrews goes, oh, yeah. And by the way, it's impossible for God to lie. So it's God's promise, it's God's oath, and it's God that can't lie. Those produce in us, for us, a hope. And that hope is the anchor to our soul. So why is that important? Do you ever feel in your life like you need stability instead of just getting battered around by the winds and the waves? That's what an anchor does. It doesn't let the ship get caught up in the storm. It doesn't let the ship sail off uncharted. It doesn't let the ship go in directionless functionality. The anchor keeps it steady so it can't go too far. That's our hope. That hope comes because God made a promise, then he backed up his promise with an oath, and he backed up the oath with the reality that he can't lie. It's like, wow, there's a lot of stuff there. You see what I'm saying? And so what we're going to do is we're going to break. Well, I'll get that phone call information on the break. No? Okay? No? Now? Okay? No? Okay. All right. So this is how we do stuff, by the way. Trivia. Oh, yeah. I got to do trivia, right? Oh, yeah. Okay. Where's my book? All right. What wicked – no, we did that. Ace called in. That's right. Okay. All right, so we did that. All right, so these three things. Yeah, I'm not scattered today. Leave me alone. You should see I was praying, but the kids were all running around.
You know, it's okay. I think we're both scattered today.
Yeah, this is a scatter day. Maybe it should be National Day of Scattergory. We'll go with that. All right, so the hope that God gives us is based on his promise, confirmed by his oath, further evidenced by he cannot lie, and that anchor of a hope keeps us steady so they don't go up to the 2x4 and just start smacking your head against the wall. Got it? I mean, that's the summation of that. But when we come back, I got a verse going to blow your mind. You're going to love this verse. It'll become one of your favorite new verses. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I am such a sinner. Not just a sinner. I am such a sinner. I'm like the biggest sinner ever. That's how I felt. And then it was the understanding that God really cared about me. And therein lies the key. Because God did care. He does care. And it's the same for you. You're listening to me. He does care. And that pain you're going through, it makes him weep. And you might say, well, you can't back that up spiritually or scripturally. Yes, I can. John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept, not for Lazarus. Lazarus was getting up in 5 minutes, but all the grief and the pain around him. Come on. God has a heart. His heart's bigger than your heart. So here's part of the things that I'm skipping light years. I'm just going past it. But it's like when that guy started crying and I started getting mad, and then he said it was, this is how the Lord feels for you, and this is the Lord's heart for you. It just showed me I'm so hard hearted. I'm like a rock, but not in a good way. You know, I'm like a dumb rock. Like, oh man, what's the matter with me? And so, you know what he did when he was done doing that? Because now I'm gone, right? Because now, how do you think after that happens, how do you think I feel? Okay. So now I'm like, please pray for me. That's right. Because I'm just lost. And he prays for me. And it's powerful. It's like, you know, it's unbelievable. It's just really, very, really powerful. Here's the thing that leads up to it. Now, are you ready? And that is the powerful point, especially when he cried. But it turns out that I went to that church for a little while. You want to hear something absolutely, positively, mind-blowing, amazing?
3 months later, on a Sunday night, I was preaching in that church, and I was preaching Romans 1:16, the very first thing I ever taught in my life. In that church, in Pastor David Huntsworth Church, Abundant Life in Dillon, Colorado. And I'll tell you one thing that I hope you really hear, and that is that one experience so affected me, I was never the same person again. It just showed me that God really does care. We're pretty hard-hearted. Yeah, we're kind of, we're mashugi from time to time. Not God. He's totally awesome.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So while we were doing our teaching and our sharing, we had somebody call in, and we're going to help this person. We're going to talk to this person. Well, going to pray for this person. The person's name is Robin, so real quick, hello. Hello, Robin. Hi. All right, so here she's got stuff going on, and she's just asking because she's got a situation that's kind of getting out of hand, and she's doing her best to restrain. And sometimes, you know, it's one of those things you got to be really honest with one another. Sometimes it's hard, and especially if you're having a harder time, like with your neighbor or whatever. So the first and most important thing is when you and I come into a situation that is beyond us, and it seems that it's kind of like this is getting to be crazy, okay? I know this sounds bizarre, but just listen to me. You come before the Lord, and listen to what I'm going to say. Your brain's going to go, but relax. You come before the Lord, and you thank him that he is, you're in your life, that he's directing you, that he's guiding you, and you ask him, you thank him first, and you ask him to enter into this situation so that it is beyond you. And you think that sounds so weird? It's not weird. It's actually how we should handle most of our situations. You always acknowledge the Lord. Paul said in Romans 1, first I thank my God. So you thank God. You don't sit there and say, why did you let this happen to me? Whine. You know, when that happens, you don't get the answers until the very, very end. And why do that? Just start off by saying, thank you, Lord. I know you've got something. You're working something. But I need you really to enter this. Not kind of, not kind of like half-hearted. I need you to, this got to be a priority, a big thing. And then in regards to loving our neighbors, which is sometimes very, very difficult, if you don't have that happening, that again is something you need to ask God to put inside of you. In other words, Lord, you love me, but I need to have a love for this person. Sometimes it's helpful from a practical point of view to try to reverse roles. That does not always work, but it can work where you say, okay, I'm going to get out of myself and be that person and walk in their exact situation. What is it they're seeing? What is it that's bothering them? How do I go about that? That's another way to do it, where you kind of swap positions, because then when you love one another like you love yourself, that's what it's talking about. You put yourself in that person's place, you pull yourself out of your place, and you look at it from a different angle. So the first thing I'm going to say is you thank and bring God into this situation in a mighty way. And the second thing is, in loving your neighbor, you swap and you see it from their perspective. Be them and see it. Try and see it from their perspective. That does not always work, but it can be helpful. And last, we're just going to pray and pray with Robin or for Robin in this situation. So just join me real quickly in praying about this. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up Robin. We thank you for her willingness to come to you and find answers. And she wants to get this done, right? She doesn't want this tension going on. She doesn't need this tension. The neighbor doesn't need the tension. Nobody needs this. And so, Lord, your word says that when a person's ways please the scripture says when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so that's what we're praying, that her willingness to come and to seek you and pursue you is exactly what you're looking for in her, and that she's coming, petitioning, thanking, trusting, but bringing you into the situation because it's beyond her. And she's asking for a dose of your Holy Spirit so she can understand the love part of this, and that's going to take a miracle from you. And we ask you to help her in that and bring peace to this situation and just bring grace to her life in this. and let this be over. This is one of those things that nips at people's heels. It's just a hard thing. It's ridiculous. Lord, you are the King. And Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. Bring peace into this situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Got that? Okay. Got that. All that. Got that. All right. Last, we're going to do a trivia, but I'm not going to do the actually, it was a Hebrew word, but we're going to wait on that. Here is the tough trivia question. What wife of David had been married to Nabal, who died when she told him of the gifts that she had given David? What wife of David, so this is a wife of King David, had been married to Nabal, his name was Fool, who died, or it meant Fool, who died when she told him of the gifts that she had given to David? What was her name? Props to Joanne and Cordelia, pretty good right off the bat. If you think you know the name of David's wife, who's married to a guy that was kind of a dopey guy. I guess you could probably say in that case that dopey guy would be okay. She was married to Nabal, then he died, and she became David's wife. Who was that? There we go. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Told you it was tougher. And then text 214-210-8483. All right. You know, I go through the whole show. There's always a couple of verses I really want you guys to get. This is one of them, okay? Actually, there's two, and I'm going to share with you two of them, okay? All right. Listen to this, because we're just talking about promises, and we've been ministering for most of the show, which is fine. That's what you should do. If you know, Jesus taught, but then he spent time just, you know, connecting with people, which is something we ought to be doing. Psalm 119, verse 50. If you don't know this verse, or if it's not like marked in your Bible, or if you have a different translation, that's okay. This is a terrific, terrific verse. Psalm 119, verse 50. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. It's so, oh gosh, just. Amazing authorship here. Amazing communication in humanity. Just amazing, amazing, amazing. My comfort in my suffering is this, David writes. Your promise preserves my life. The promise of God keeps all of us. The return keeps the hope going. The promise of God enables us to endure. The promises of God enable us to get up and do another day, because the promises of God are steadfast and true. We can rely on them. We can hope in them. We can believe in them. And they are a comfort that preserve our life. And in that comfort that preserves our life, we recognize those promises from God. They are as sure as the promise he made to Abraham, as sure as the promise he made to Noah. God's promise doesn't like, well, you know, God's promise to Abraham was a little more important than God's promise to Noah. Anybody who thinks that the promises of God are less than or greater than have not really thought this through, because if God didn't keep his promise to Noah, the world would be gone. Goodbye. Bye. And so the promises God has made to us through the New Testament, you know, promises like Jesus said, I will be with you always. That's a promise. Not, I will be with you always, right up until you really irritate me, or until you're not doing exactly what I want. Then I'm leaving and never talking to you again. Say that. And so the promise is comfort. That comfort, my comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves me. Psalm 119, verse 50. And then we'll close with this, and then we'll do the trivia and close out. Joshua 23:14. This is just one of those great verses to in regards to promises. This is referencing Joshua. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of the promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. And actually it says not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. All the promises that God had made to that group, that generation, every one of those promises were fulfilled. God has never failed at keeping his promise. I can't say that. I don't know anybody that can say that. But what I can rest on or rely on or depend on is that the promises of God are steadfast and sure. They are yes in Jesus Christ, and my amen brings glory to God. And it's like, amen, Lord. I mean, I love those promises. And just so you can know, think, well, does God make promises that are like, does he still make promises? Of course he still makes promises. Like we said, are those as sure as your understanding of the word or my understanding of the word? I don't think our receptacle ability has that level that you can say that. But if God made a promise, it will come to pass, period. If God made it, it happens. And that's it. And the Bible is filled with promises that God makes to his people over 1,200 times. The promises of God are steadfast and sure. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. Isn't that just wonderful? All right. Okay, let's do the trivia real quickly. What a fun show was today. What wife of David was married to Nabal, who died when she told him of the gifts that she had given? And that answer is going to be Abigail. Abigail. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Basically, you're looking at verse 18, 19, and 20 is where you're going to really kind of narrow that down. Okay? Hold on. Let me mark that real fast. All right. Keep in mind, as I try to tell you everything that's going on, I will not, it'll be a replay tomorrow. It'll be a best of. Doesn't mean it'll be bad. I know you're thinking, oh, it's a replay. We won't have a live. Well, the trivia won't be live, so don't call. Is that a nice way to say that? The trivia is not live. Don't call. But enjoy the show, right? You can still enjoy it. There's I probably picked a good one. I hope I did. And then keep me in prayer, and I'm going to keep you in prayer. We're just going to keep praying for one another. And don't forget to keep Robin in prayer and everybody else that's connected to the show, because that's what God has called us to. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, 2 days. We'll be back. Talk to you then.
Destroying everyone and everything we find.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.